You are listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for August 1990. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. Let's step right over to the front page of DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club. We have a lot of information to cover on this particular edition of the DX Audio Service, as this is the pre-convention edition. We have this particular edition. Also, we have the September edition, which will be just prior to the NRSC convention. In fact, many of you will get your tapes literally just a couple of days just before the convention. We'd like to remind you that the 1990 National Radio Club Convention will be held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we'll have more details on the NRSC convention on part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. From time to time, you've heard us talk about the CPC, the Courtesy Programs Committee, and of course, by now you know that Wayne Heinen and Jeff Tynan are heading up this fine program to get DX tests on the air for the membership of the NRC and DX Audio Service. So we thought that Wayne might just tell you a little bit about the CPC. Wayne?
Thank you, Fred. It's nice to be with the DX Audio Service to give you a little idea of what the Courtesy Program Committee is. The letters are CPC. Give you a little recap of the 1989-1990 DX season and the tests we were able to schedule. In the NRC bulletins and through the DX Audio Service and through the bulletins of the IRCA, we were able to arrange a total of 21 tests that were scheduled by the Colorado CPC machine. The CPC machine consists of myself, Jeff Tynan from Parker, Colorado, who's in the NRC, and an Apple IIe computer equipped with a mail merge program. What we have basically done is taken and automated the letter writing to stations throughout the United States, Canada, Puerto Rico, and tried to make a program whereby we can contact as many stations as possible during a DX season to try and ensure that the NRC has a good selection of special tests during the DX season. This past season we sent out 195 letters that were financed by a total of $122.50 in contributions by 20 members of the National Radio Club. One of the things we're looking for in the coming year is a continued amount of donations as far as stamps or cash money goes, and an increase in the membership participation as far as targeting the stations to be written to. Targeting takes the most amount of time. The letter writing, of course, is almost totally automated, and we really don't take very much time doing it. But where Jeff and I have put in the most amount of time this past year is taking stamps that have been given to us and coming up with target stations that would be likely to come on the air and ones that NRCers would most want to hear. The problem is that we got approximately 15 lists from people last year of target stations. So basically, the NRC got a chance to hear what those 15 people and what Jeff and I wanted to hear. So we're hoping that this year we'll be able to expand our courtesy program effort and send out in excess of the 195 letters we mailed out, and hopefully we'll be able to target more stations that members of the NRC and the audio service wish to hear themselves. To target a station, what you need to do is look at the station you wish to hear, the channel on which you are hoping to hear it on, and a fairly good look at the crowdability of the channel. Monday mornings, Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, it doesn't really seem to matter because there are not that many stations that are going off of the all-night schedules. They're mostly no silent period these days. We do try to look at, especially with daytime stations, having them come on a half an hour to an hour prior of their normal sign-on. The station personnel don't feel that they're very much put out to come in an hour early to put on one of these special test broadcasts for us. And as you could see by last year's calendar, we had quite a bit of luck. Another thing that has worked is asking a station to sign on with the daytime power and antenna just prior or just after their normal sign-off time if they have one. That also worked quite successfully for us. What we would like to see from members of the audio service is both those target lists and stamps. If you wish to help us continue having courtesy programs or special DX tests available, you can write to me, Wayne Heinen. I'll spell that W-A-Y-N-E. Last name is H-E-I-N-E-N. The address to send your stamps and your target lists to is 4131 South Andes, A-N-D-E-S, Way, and that's Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A, Colorado, 80013. If you're a little shy on funds, but you got some time to do some targeting, we'd appreciate that too, because many times some of our busier members will send us stamps, but with no idea of any targets. So if we have extra targets, all the better. It saves Jeff and I work, and you might be able to get to hear some of the stations that you might want to hear. In addition to the 20 contributors that contributed, we do have some special thanks to an audio service member, who's Jerry Starr. As N8IRL, Jerry was responsible for many of the code IDs that you were able to hear in many of the broadcasts last season. And in one case, the WBIU was more than happy to put on a DX test for us as long as we sent them the entire test on tape. And Jerry went ahead and made that out for us. It's that kind of cooperation that we're hoping to get from the NRC members, the members of the audio service again this year. Jeff and I are looking at exceeding the 200 letter mark this year, and we would like to see a calendar with as many as 40 tests this year. So we're going to be starting our mailing about the second week in August, and we'll be beginning to target late September and early October at that time. And we hope to be able to continue straight through the DX season with tests going straight up to the end of March, beginning of April. So once again, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to everybody at the DX Audio Service, and hope that many of you will find your way clear to send us some targets and some stamps. Well, I'd like to turn the mic over to my good friend, Mr. Jerry Starr, with this month's AM SwitchCon.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr here with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News, starting with call letter changes in reference number 233. On 550, KUZZ, Bakersfield, California, changes to KCWR. 790 CKSO Sudbury, Ontario becomes CIGM. 800 WSUZ Palatka, Florida changes to WPLX. 990 WGTR Gallipolis, Ohio. That call only lasted about 3 weeks. They are now back using WJEH, their old call. On 1060, WGLH Mebane, North Carolina becomes WGSB. 1080 WNCR St. Paul's, North Carolina changes to WKKE. On 1150, WXLF, Rock Hill, South Carolina, becomes WYRS. 1200, WOPA, Chicago, Illinois, changes to WXET. On 1260, KCYX, McMinnville, Oregon, becomes KLCY. 1290, KIIM, Tucson, Arizona, changes to KCUB, as that call returns to Tucson. On 1300, WXDX Winfield, Alabama becomes WKXM. 1420, KIXT Hot Springs, Arkansas changes to KXOW. On 1450, KOWA Escondido, California becomes KSPA. 1480, WAPG Arcadia, Florida becomes WOKD. On 1520, KINF Lafayette, Louisiana becomes KACY. On 1540, WKIE Richmond, Virginia changes to WRBN. And on 1580, KBQC Davenport, Iowa changes to KFQC. One other call letter note. Last issue we reported that KESY Omaha, Nebraska would change to KLAO. That change was set aside and never used, so 1420 Omaha remains KESY. Applications from existing facilities, a couple highlights. On 580, KSAZ Tucson, Arizona wants to reduce their night power to 750 watts and change their city of license to Marina, Arizona. And on 1500, WNZQ St. Cloud, Florida would like to move to 830 kilohertz. with 400 watts daytime, 250 watts nighttime. That, by the way, is a reapplication. Taking a look at grants to existing facilities, a couple highlights, basically a frequency swap in Alaska as KABN 830 Long Island moves to 840 and KSPD 840 Sandpoint moves to 830. On 1430 CJXX Grand Prairie, Alberta, this station has a grant from the DOT to move to 840 kilohertz where they will have 25 kilowatts day, 10 kilowatts night, and a U4 antenna. Looking down through otherness on 560 WYOR, Brentwood, Tennessee, silent station is back on the air. 890, application for new station in San Marcos, California, that application has been dismissed. On 980 WAZS, Somerville, South Carolina, a silent station back on the air. 1150 KVIL, Highland Park, Texas, this station was silent due to heavy flooding at their transmitter site. The floods are gone and the station is back on the air. 1190 KJLA, Kansas City, Missouri, this station is silent. 1240 WAVN, South Haven, Mississippi, brand new station now on the air. On 1260 KVSF, Santa Fe, New Mexico, this silent station has been sold or is in the process of being sold to the owner of KMIK, which is on 810 in Santa Fe. KMIK has to move their transmitter site and has been searching for a new site when the KVSF facilities became available. So look for KMIK to abandon 810 and move to 1260 if the sale is approved. That's conjecture on our part, but of course that would give them a full-time facility. We imagine that move will probably be made. On 1290 KLVS, Lake Oswego, Oregon, this silent station is back on the air. 1410 KQIV, Litchfield, Minnesota, station is silent. 1440 WIRE, Normal, Illinois, is silent. On 1550 WORI, Oak Hill, Tennessee, this station has had several silent periods and it is silent again. 1570 WRJQ, Appleton, Wisconsin, is silent. 1580 WMRE, Knoxville, Tennessee, after being silent for nearly 2 years, this station is now back on the air. And that'll do it for this edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. I'm Jerry Starr. I'll see you in 4 weeks. Now, once again, we turn you over to Fred.
Thank you very much, Jerry. And now it's time to speak to the John Cameron Swayze of the bunch.
Watch out.
John Bowker with a look at what's going on with the travelogue.
Hello again, everyone. I'm John Bowker, and this is the segment of the DX Audio Service where we gather up the signatures of a bunch of AM radio stations, and we call them station breaks or station IDs. It's a good thing we do. That's what the stations call them, too. And anyway, we let you hear how these DX catches can sound if you live right in or right near the town where they're coming from. And with this edition, we enter the never-never land of clear channel stations. That's becoming something of a non sequitur, as you're coming to know. It used to be, you know, that on these clear channels, there were only one or two stations. I remember being able to hear WOAI in San Antonio when I lived in Vermont at 1200, because that's all there was. There was no more. Well, those are starting to disappear. However, they still call them the clear channels. And we're going to start with one of the most exclusive of the clears. That's 640 kilohertz. And what that really means is that there's only one Class 1A station assigned to that channel. So what, you may ask, is a Class 1A station? Well, we went over this a year or two ago on the DX Audio Service, but let's have a very brief refresher. A Class 1A station is a station operating with 50,000 watts of power day and night. Now, a Class 1A station doesn't have to give interference protection to other stations. And the channel it operates on, and certain adjacent channels, are cleared of other stations that may cause it interference. In other words, it's the best of about all possible worlds. Now, generally, the range of a Class 1A station is considered by the FCC to be 750 miles. And what that really means is that the next closest station on a clear channel must be more than 750 miles, since it, too, will have a service range. And that service range can't cut through the service range of this 750-mile contour of the Class 1A station. I guess that makes sense. Now, the Class 1A station at 640 on the dial is KFI in Los Angeles, and this goes back to the most recent Havana NARB convention. Okay, NARBA convention it's called. And so that's the only full-time Class 1A station in this whole part of the world, in fact. The only other station operating at night with, say, more than 1,000 watts of power on 640 is KYUK in Bethel, Alaska. It operates with 10,000 watts day and night. And if you're worried about the station in Springfield, Massachusetts, the new one there, WNNZ, it turns down to 1,000 watts at local sunset. So KFI is still a DX catch over much of the United States, and it can be done. Now, let's see, I count 16 stations actually up and running at 640 on the AM dial in this country, and there are a couple of Canadian stations on the frequency over the years. Now, frankly, I've not heard either of those Canadian stations in many, many moons, but that's possibly because I just haven't heard them. So with all the purges of Canadian stations, I can't tell you their status at this point, I'm afraid. But one thing I can tell you, if your log shows a station in Mount Holly, New Jersey at 640 on the dial, let me assure you there is no such station on the air. There is one being built, but it's apparently some months even away from testing, as if the local people I'm in touch with down there in Mount Holly, about 10 miles from where I'm sitting right now, if they're right. Okay, so let's hear what we have for station breaks at 640 on the dial here for the August 1970 travelogue. And as in months past, what do you say we start in the East Coast and work our way, I'm afraid with only a few stops, through to the West Coast. But for what it's worth, here's what we've got. Take it, winds.
All new, 50,000 watts of stereo solid gold. This is WNNZ Westman, 640 Winds, New England's oldie station.
If you didn't know what the station really, where it was located, I don't think you'd be able to tell from that, because they cover the word Westfield in Massachusetts, by the way. They cover that pretty well with that music. But that was recorded in the summer of 1988. When you listen to them now, in April of 1990, whatever year this is, fans, here's what you hear. I think it's a little more identifying.
At 3 o'clock.
Yeah, the idea is a little better, but the weather didn't sound so good. What do you say we drop to the south? We'll go down to Fayetteville now. Pick up a weather forecast, and this is the kind of weather you really want to look forward to, I'm sure. North Carolina. Ah, beautiful state.
Friday night, chance of evening rain again mixed with snow.
No!
And that's the forecast.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, everyone. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
Okay, Chris. Well, let's see. How far south do we go at 640? Oh, we go right into Florida. Then we'll come back up through Tennessee and Ohio and things like that. Okay, let's go down to Royal Palm Beach. Now, they've got good weather. I know they do. As a matter of fact, I don't even have their weather forecast. Here we go.
It's 8 o'clock. Serving Boca Raton, Hollywood, and all of South Florida, this is Royal 64, WLVJ, Royal Palm Beach.
Hear the interference?
It's time now for Pastor Chuck.
I really don't know if, you know, Pastor Chuck, that somehow those words just don't go together. Pastor Charles, of course. Pastor Chuck, that wouldn't have been part of my upbringing, I don't think. So, let's move on and discuss the interference. Actually, there isn't a heck of a lot to discuss. Let's tune in on the station that was interfering. It's the other new 640 station in Florida that, in its wisdom, the FCC assigned to 640 on the dial. I was very near to Royal Palm. I was about 12 miles out of Royal Palm Beach, and I made that recording. Yes, it was getting a little dusky, but it wasn't dark yet. Son of a gun. Here's Wildwood, Florida.
And $6 for adults. Tickets available at the gate. Stand by for ABC News.
Christian radio for the heart of Florida. This is WHOF Wildwood Leesburg.
WHOF. From ABC News, I'm Gary Nunn. An unexploded but live bomb has been found and taken out of the U.S. Appeals Courthouse in Atlanta.
Summer 88 could be your classic memory with a free trip to Hawaii. Details coming soon.
WKTC Monday.
That's a Bluntville in Tennessee. Bluntville, Tennessee. WJTZ.
News focuses next on your Christian information station, AM 640, WCRV, Collierville, Memphis. For up-to-the-minute news and information on today's important Christian issues, stay tuned to the Mid-South's Christian Voice.
News on the USA Radio Network. The governor of Puerto Rico.
We're praising the Lord through music on 640 Christian Radio, the new WHLO, Akron, Cleveland.
Now, this next station lays a claim to being one of the first on the air with continuous programming ever since it's been on the air, which they note was back in the teens, 1917 or 18, somewhere in there, right after the war, I guess, World War I. That can't be substantiated, according to Department of Commerce records, but on the other hand, they have many people and lots of documents in Iowa that would suggest maybe they're right. Well, anyway, here they are. They're on the air today, I'll tell you that.
This is Information PM on AM 64 WOI, Ames, Des Moines.
Now, for this last station at 640 that we have for you today, we're going to play you three different IDs. This first one was taken in 1971.
Los Angeles, KFI, 640.
And that was recorded in a motel room in Phoenix, Arizona. I know, because I did it. This next ID was recorded in San Francisco, California, in, this would have been the first week of May, 1976.
For half a million minutes every year, or 60,000 square miles around L.A., the voice of California is always near. K.F.I. is never far away.
This is the home of the Talkmasters, KFI 640, and Ron McCoy.
Now, I have to tell you a little bit more about this, because the buzz you heard was fluorescent light buzz. And why didn't I turn off the fluorescent lights? Oh, what a story. I was in Redwood City that night working on the transmitter of the station at 680 on the dial in San Francisco. Okay? Now, we had a few problems down there, and, you know, what can I tell you? Right next door to the KNBR installation, the transmitter, a big 500-foot single tower that's out in San Francisco Bay, about 5 miles south of the main runway into San Francisco Airport, by the way. Right next door is a series of towers, not very tall, and they're the logarithmic type of tower, doesn't matter, for KGEI, which is one of these international shortwave stations. And the way they tune up their antenna is to use fluorescent lights, 4-foot-long fluorescent lights, spaced about every 30 feet, along their entire feed line, which is an open-line feed line. And the way they get the whole antenna so it's tuned up exactly right is the engineer up on the second floor of the KGEI transmitter building makes all the fluorescent lights come out the same brightness. Oh, no, that's true. That's true. So there I was, out in the middle of nowhere, away from just about everything except KNBR, and on comes KGEI about 2 o'clock in the morning, and that ruined my ID. I have to tell you that story. Now, here is an ID from KFI taken in 1988.
Listening to KFI 640. This year, celebrating 64 years of service to Southern California.
KFI Los Angeles.
Three more hours till the polls close.
Well, that's quite a collection of IDs, let's face it. let's see. It's a limited clear channel, let's face it. But, you know, if I keep right on going, Fred might let us hear another equally limited channel where we have even fewer IDs, and we'll get through it this month. 650 kilohertz. Now, much of what I've said regarding 640, its history and all that stuff, applies also to 650, including my comments about the Canadian stations. You know, it's interesting to note, though, that the two Canadians at 640 were both in the eastern part of the country, and the two at 650 were in the western part of the country. Well, Saskatchewan and British Columbia. There appear to be only 10 stations operating in the U.S. at 650 on the dial at this time. WSM in Nashville is the dominant Class 1A station. And let's see, of the remaining 9 stations to operate with high nighttime powers, one is in Anchorage. They're running 50,000 watts, too, and one in Honolulu with 10 kilowatts. How about that? But again, the others in the United States all operate with 1,000 watts at night or even less power. I see here a couple of them. So, let's show you what we've got at 650 kilohertz for the August 1990 DX audio service.
It's Saturday night in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. You're invited to stay tuned for the greatest country music show in the world, the Grand Ole Opry.
This is WSM Nashville. 50,000 watt clear channel broadcasting service of the National Life and Accident Insurance Company. WKKQ, Nashwan, Hibbing, Virginia, Grand Rapids, and all of the Great North.
Now this ABC News brief.
That station's in Minnesota, by the way. It threw me for a minute there, too, when I was trying to look it up in my log. But, we have subscribers all over the place, and we really appreciate everything that comes in. But you notice they refer to that as the Great North. Now, this coming is the Great North.
Best by a country mile, KYAK, Anchorage.
Good afternoon, this is Kayak News at 4 o'clock.
And if you picture snow and ice and colts when you think of Anchorage, Alaska, what do you think of when you hear this one?
Hi, this is your friend Frankie Carr. I wanted to thank you so much for making us all a part of the music of your life.
This is KORL Honolulu, Choral 65, with the music of your life.
You think of Hawaiian music, don't you? You do? You got problems. That's all we have at 650 in the travelogue here. So if you have any stations at 640 or 650 near where you live that you didn't hear today, put them on a cassette. Send them in to the DX Audio Service, and we'll add them to the collection here. Now, just before parting with you for another month, I want to acknowledge a terrific tape from Carl Dabelstein, who sent in a band scan of his area in the Midwest, out Overland Park, Kansas. Very interesting, Skip. Thanks an awful lot. I was, by the way, able to pull a few legal IDs off the cassette, so it was a winner all the way around, and helped entertain my wife and me as we were driving around the New England countryside just recently, as you know. Got to go now, I guess. Let's see. Yeah, we're making plans for getting our motorhome parked on the upper level of the parking area at the Marriott Motor Lodge in Pittsburgh, where the National Radio Club's going to be holding its 1990 convention over the Labor Day weekend. And yes, I know everybody's talking about it, but we're trying to plan a family reunion, and that takes some delicate planning, especially when the wives learn about the charm of a picturesque parking lot. The gasoline fumes, reassuring us all about the vibrant fiber of our nation. What's that, dear? You think they've heard enough? Okay. Hey, until next month's travelogue, or until we meet in Pittsburgh, this is John Bowker. So long for now.
Hello. Let's go. We can make your day a great big smile. Leave your radio on and stay a while. 640 on your dial on WHLO.
major sports coverage. Update news. New directions in music. Lohman and Barkley. Yes, KFI is one of a kind.
Well, kind of.
The 47-year-old swinging pussycat. KFI 640.
Okay, take two.
Greetings to all subscribers of the National Radio Club's DX audio service. This is Bill Hale with Domestic DX Digest Happenings on this August edition of the DX audio service. Well, first off, this month we've had a couple of reports of the new NAB Experimental Skywave Suppression Station, KA2XXB, in Beltsville, Maryland on 1660. The first came from Hank Holbrook of Dunkirk, Maryland, who lives only 25 miles away. Hank heard the station testing on the evening of June 20th from 2010 to 2032 hours Eastern Time. Hank heard frequent IDs and the carrier going on and off. Hank's equipment includes an SP600 receiver with a 50-foot long wire. The other report is from Charles Ray of Leamington, Ontario. Chuck reports hearing KA2XXB on June 25th at 0136 hours with this ID. KA2XXB, Beltsville, Maryland, 1660 kHz, the experimental skywave suppression station operated by the National Association of Broadcasters. IDs began at 43-second intervals with 30 seconds of open carrier between. Chuck reports a very good signal in at Leamington with occasional blackouts lasting a few seconds, which were probably power cuts or maybe pattern changes, probably the former. They were still going strong at 0630 hours, well after both the Beltsville and Leamington local sunrise times. Chuck DX's was an R390A and a Sanzerino loop and tapes into a realistic TR3000 open reeler. By the way, it's 365 miles from Beltsville to Leamington, so if they're suppressing the skywave, their 500 watts or so made a good trip via the ground wave. But then 1660 is a clear channel. Well, on to other subjects, DX being the main one, and we're into the summer dog days of DXing when signals are all seem to be taking a nap, and I guess everybody concentrates on TV, FM, or something else during the summertime. Steve Ponder of Shreveport, Louisiana, was in Cancun, Mexico the first few days of June and reported these catches while there using his Toshiba RPF11 AM-FM shortwave portable. KWKH 1130 from his hometown in at 30 minutes past midnight on June 3rd. The VOA station on 1180 from Marathon Key, Florida in at 1748 hours on June 4th. And KYOK 1590 in Houston, Texas in at 0115 hours on June 6th. A couple of other special reports include the word that KSWM 940 in Aurora, Arkansas was off the air as of at least June 5th. Perhaps moving to their new facility slash location in Republic, Arkansas, as per their long-standing CP. Maybe AM Switch will have details on this one. Jeff Lewis of Kansas City checked in with this news. He recently was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and heard that deadening silence on 940. Well, Morris Sorensen of Toronto, Ontario, reports that the old CFGM 640 in Richmond Hill is now on with the new calls of CHOG and a new format of mostly current rock hits and giving an ID as AM 640, the hog. This is followed by the sound of a grunting pig. Morris confirmed the call letters with a phone call to the station. Sean Axelrod of Winnipeg, Manitoba logged KKPR 1460 Kearney, Nebraska with these new calls on June 9th at 0535 hours with an ID, oldies music, a Power 99 ID, obviously simulcasting with their FM-er, KKPR 98.9. The old call letters were KKOA. Sean DX's with an R70 receiver and either a 3-foot loop or a 100-foot long wire plus a Mini-Tune 3. Well, one final note this month, we're planning a special column both in the printed DX news and on the audio service in which you're asked to submit your one, emphasis one, best medium wave logging of all time. And there's no constraints on to whether they're domestic or foreign or whatever, just so that they qualify on the medium wave band. That's all we ask. Include the station call letters, its location, the date you heard this, date and time rather, you heard this, what you heard, your location at the time, and why you consider it to be your best. The deadline on this is October 15th for the November audio service tape and publication in one of the November issues of DX News. My address is 734 Burleson, spelled B-U-R-L-E-S-O-N, San Marcos, Texas, and my zip code is 78666-4335. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. One note I may ask, that when you do report to Domestic DX Digest, please report on one side of the paper only. So until next month, this is Bill Hale with Domestic DX Digest happenings on the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Good DX to all.
And it's time now for our Musings from Members column, and these are the thoughts of the NRC members. The opinions expressed in this column, the individual writer and speaker, and do not necessarily reflect those of the editors, publishers, or the National Radio Club, Incorporated.
Hello to all friends in the NRC. This is Rick Dow calling from the farm in near Oakland, Iowa. I'm a relatively new member of the DX Audio Service. I've enjoyed what I've heard so far. Keep up the great work, Fred. Today is Friday afternoon, July 6th, 1990. Not much new to report here, although down the road, about 180 miles in Kansas City, as you may have heard on last month's audio service, KJLA 1190 is now silent. It's nice to have that station off now, because 1190 is now somewhat de-expo here at night. Had a nice visit with Skip Dabblestein in Overland Park on June 16th. In fact, he recorded his message for the audio service last month on the same day that I visited him. Also nice to hear the voice of Jim Snowbarger in central Iowa. Let's hope we hear from some more Iowa members on the audio service. Finally, to wrap up, I will be in Pittsburgh for this year's convention, and I hope to see many of you there. 73, and so long from the farm.
This is Camille Petrecca calling from Wethersfield, Connecticut. A strange thing that I've discovered here is that we have two AM radio stations which are broadcasting the television of half hour of news every weeknight, I believe. And I wondered if this is happening in other parts of the country. The first time I heard it, I thought that I had inadvertently switched my band on my radio, but discovered I was still on the AM station. It's happening here on two stations, one in New Britain and one in Springfield, Mass. Thanks for the good magazine. Bye for now.
This is Steve Bauer in Wichita, Kansas, and a format change occurred on July the 4th. On 1410 KQAM, they dropped a satellite music-delivered oldie format to pick up a format that they are originating here in Wichita. It is somewhat like the music of your life, but they're calling it American Favorites, featuring the hits of the 30s, 40s, 50s, and some 60s. It is an automated format with network news at the top of the hour, no personalities.
Hey there, everybody. On the DX Audio Service, this is Chris Swank in Fairfield, California. And I would like to start an air check collection. I don't have an air check collection as of yet, and I'm really not able to travel across the country. So if anybody has any ideas on how to start up an air check collection or would like to offer some air checks, maybe set up a mailer, a turnaround mailer and some blank tapes, and maybe in exchange for some air checks of theirs, I could maybe make some air checks of radio around here, which is basically some a lot of the San Francisco and some Sacramento stations, as well as a few other areas, AMs or FMs. Please send it along, any information, preferably in Braille or on tape, to Chris Swank, C-H-R-I-S-S-W-A-N-K, 1350 Crowley, C-R-O-W-L-E-Y Lane, apartment 9F, that is in front, Fairfield, California, 94533. Or if you choose to telephone, try 707-422-9890 and help me start my air check collection. Thanks a lot. I'll be out of here.
Well, hello, DXers. It's Marty Rimpaugh in Oakland, California. We currently have a temporary format change. I say temporary because what we have is a Trimalcast. The company Viacom has bought out KOFY FM at 98.9, and they have also bought KLRS in Santa Cruz at 99.1. And the ironic thing is that neither one of them covers the South Bay very well. I guess that was their goal, to simulcast the FM with the Copy FM and KLRS together. In the interim, while they're getting the FM ready, they are simulcasting Copy AM, Copy FM, and KLRS, with Copy FM and Colors being one channel only, and there being a delay between the AM and the FM, with the AM being ahead of the FM. So the AM's in stereo, the FM's in left channel only. It's really a drag, kind of a simulcast. It brings back Friday, May 6th at about 12:45 p.m. in about 1988, when Coffee AM and FM were simulcasting. But that's basically what's happening. I don't know when the new format will take place on Coffee FM and KLRS. But meanwhile, we have the first historical Bay Area Trimalcast, and I understand it happened between 3 and 4. I first noticed the FM simulcasting during the song I Knew You In by Billy Joe Royal, and they were playing with levels. And I started my tape machine pronto, but I didn't know exactly when the switch happened. Apparently, they were very hush-hush over at the FM side, so I didn't know anything. So that's basically what's happening. Your Trimalcast, KOFY AM and FM, and KLRS in Santa Cruz, and that's basically where it's what's happening there. They have the oldies format on all three stations. So that's all for now. See you later.
Hi, this is Greg Jack in Olympia. I've heard the station in Lakewood Center, which is playing, which is listening supported and on the air for 1 week, or once a day a week, and they're basically stating that they have old-time Christian format, and interestingly enough, they seem to be serving, according to them, the handicapped, shut-ins, and the elderly.
Olympia, Washington finally has its first commercial FM station called KXXO, which broadcasts at 96.5 and is in, as they put it, CD stereo. The station is 85,000 watts, and apparently, according to a friend of mine, it's being picked up in Oregon and all the way up north into Vancouver, BC, and Bellingham, and in that area. So here's a little bit of what that station sounds like. And they are carrying your typical mellow rock format.
Anita Baker on the all-new Mix 96 FM. 12 minutes after 7 o'clock, KXXO Northwest weather. Well, it's looking pretty good. Calling for fair skies overnight, except a slight chance of an evening thundershower over the foothills. And we'll have increasing low clouds late tonight with a low of about 53. For Friday and Friday night, Saturday, sunny and warmer after early morning low clouds. That stuff will burn off and we'll have a high near 80 degrees. At this hour, Hoquiam is checking in with 66. Bremerton has 84. Tacoma has 81. And from the Rockaway Leland Building in the heart of downtown Olympia, we've got 86.
Capital Coachman Mazda has a new way to buy.
Fred, this is Gary Chandler in Houston, and there are a couple of things that are happening here. On around July 1st, KCOH radio on 1430 went to a 24-hour broadcast day. And just today, by the way, is July the 17th. And on last night, I discovered that KFRD 980 in Rosenberg, Texas, which is about 30 miles west of here, has also gone 24 hours. And about a month ago, KTUS 1400 in Galveston, Texas, which was doing a satellite country format, has ceased operations probably temporarily. That's it from here. Thanks a lot.
And if you have something to say, something on your mind, give us a call on the Action Line. Telephone number, area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day, and that number is for members only. And something I think you missed on your 640 travelogue, John, new station in Lima, Ohio.
Well, actually, it's not a news station. The lady next door recently lost her sight and has been dying to find out some information about news and what is going on. So we took the old WNRC transmitter, which is on 640, and...
Within a week, Sutton said Winters agreed to meet with legal services attorneys.
Took the radio reading service off the SCA of a FM station in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and retransmitting it on 640. No ID, John, but... There's a new 640 in Lima. We'll see you on part two of the National Radio Club's DX audio service with a whole lot more.